From the deepest oceans to the peaks of the world's highest mountains, get ready for an adventure into the wonder and excitement that is our planet. In this hour, we get a fungus, but it's worth its weight in gold. Then how to attract the opposite sex with push-ups. And finally, we help you plan your next vacation. This is National Geographic Weekend. Welcome back. This is National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Mattson. Are you looking for the miracle cure? The thing that will make your life better when you're in bed, when you're out of bed, when you're on the road, when you're feeling down, will it pick you up? I think we have the miracle cure. It is a caterpillar mushroom. Is that possible? Well, the only way to find out is to talk with Daniel Winkler, who is an ethnomycologist studying the caterpillar mushroom up in the Tibetan Plateau. Can be found in the highlands of Burma, Tibet. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is this the cure-all? Is this the elixir that we've been looking for?
Oh, sure. Could you doubt that? I don't know. It's a little pricey, so I'm not taking it myself. Wouldn't mind, but it's so hard to find it, and it would take so much time to find your daily dose, and just to buy it, it's crazily expensive.
Well, some people must believe it does this, because the price is through the roof.
It is absolutely through the roof, and there's people who believe it, but it's also a big part of it is status symbol. So maybe it addresses all these things you mentioned besides inferiority complex. So you being a successful Chinese businessman, you impress your buddies by saying how you just bought a pound or 5 kg of caterpillar fungus and, mention that you just spent, I don't know, $500,000 Chinese yuan on it. And then you have them over for a feast and stuff your goose with several thousand dollars of caterpillar fungus. And that's how you communicate that you're doing pretty well.
And the price here, folks, it sometimes depends on where the price of gold is. You can pay more for an ounce of caterpillar fungus than you can for an ounce of gold.
If you can afford it, yeah. It's crazy, and prices have gone up in the last 12 years like by 1,000%. But now in the last 5 years, we have a differentiation between average, low quality, and best quality. And quality is defined by size, and there's probably a correlation that we talk about aphrodisiac. So size really matters here when we talk about the worm.
The size of your fungus.
Yeah, the worm here, the worm grass, as it's called shortly in Chinese.
It's called worm grass?
Worm grass, yeah. Winter worm, summer grass.
What impact does that have, say, on the people of Tibet who are going up to collect it off the plateau?
Oh, it's incredible. We've seen a total transformation of rural Tibet by an extreme influx of cash. So your average Tibetan goes out in May, June for 6 weeks collecting caterpillar fungus. Yartsa gumbu is the Tibetan name, and is netting in one collection season maybe double, triple the official per capita income, let's say somewhere maybe $1,500, $2,000 a season, and brings home their cash in an economy, in a society that was still 10, 15, 20 years ago mainly based on bartering and low cash exchanges, people helping each other building their houses, not hiring somebody to build their houses. Now everybody hires everybody because everybody has cash. And all the dudes are on motorcycles. You can't find a bride if you have a horse these days. You got to have a motorcycle. And one collection season, there's your motorcycle. It's crazy.
It's like up in the hills of Northern California where they're growing high-grade marijuana or something. The prices are such that you think, what is this? But it's legal.
It's in Tibetan areas, it was always legal to collect. In Nepal and Bhutan, it wasn't legal to collect for quite a while, but now it is too.
And is there a problem with collecting it?
Well, I mean, something that's that valuable and where a whole society especially rural Tibet, becomes depending on it economically. Sustainability is the big question. And while on one side we know it's been collected since centuries, first documentation is 500 years back in Tibet, but now everybody collects it. And so while it looks like it's quite a resilient species, but so many people collect and we don't have good research telling us how sustainable it is and if there would be better collection techniques.
We're talking with Daniel Winkler here on National Geographic Weekend. What would we call you? A fungus expert? Mushroom expert? And we're talking about the caterpillar fungus that is such an expensive and desirable drug among the affluent in China. I said drug, but does it actually have any research scientifically proven beneficial properties?
It does. And there's each year there's dozens of research papers coming out on Cordyceps. That's the scientific name here, Cordyceps sinensis. The new name is Ophiocordyceps sinensis. And the latest, in this genus of insect parasitizing fungi, for example, cyclosporin, when you get a liver transplant, you take a Cordyceps-derived drug to suppress your immune reaction. Now, there's a new drug coming out for multiple sclerosis, which is based on Cordyceps sinensis, which they expect to be a blockbuster drug. Cordycepine, one of the major active ingredients, has shown, it was published last year, that it can suppress cancer cell reproduction. So there's plenty of good evidence that some of these really seemingly exotic or outrageous claims have a base, and we'll hear more and more about it in the future.
The way that it's being used for scientific medicinal purposes, it's not just taken and picked off the ground and eaten. It's made into a drug. So what happens if you just, and what do they do? Do they drink it in a tea? Do they eat it? What do you do with a caterpillar mushroom?
So when you get your little caterpillar with the fungus, like a pencil, little half-sized pencil growing out of the head of the caterpillar.
So this really is a caterpillar?
It is really a caterpillar of a ghost moth. It's about, 3-4 inches long.
So it's died.
It's dead. Yeah.
And then the fungus starts growing out of the dead caterpillar.
Right.
And that's what's so valuable. Now, recently on the show, we had the story of the zombie ants, a fungus growing out of the heads of ants in the rainforest.
Right.
Is this the same thing?
It's closely related. They're probably both Ophiocordyceps, the new species name. And the really amazing thing is that the fungus is infecting the insect and first digesting the non-vital tissue. And then, before the final kill, it directs the insect into a place which is optimal for spore distribution. Like in the case of Tibetan caterpillar fungus, normally in the winter they would go deep down in the ground to hibernate. But when they infect it, the fungus directs them to like 1 inch underground where it will kill it off. And then in spring, it just can grow the fruiting body out of the grass, out of the soil. So they're all about the same depth in the ground. And so we have a fungus that controls the last movements of that insect before it kills it off. And crazy, you know.
So we could call this caterpillar fungus a zombie caterpillar.
Well, at some stage, it's a zombie caterpillar.
The fungus starts growing out of the dead caterpillar.
Right.
And that's what's so valuable. So do they...
Both together, caterpillar and fungus.
And then what do they do?
What they do, it depends in which medical system you work. So people, if they just take it in Tibet, for example, they might just put it in a cup of hot water, drink the water, and then eat the caterpillar cum fungus.
And does it have a an effect of getting you high?
Well, you're already high. You know, you're already up 16,000 feet, and you don't want to get much higher. You want to deal with the altitude there.
So it's not a drug effect in the sense of a depressant or a stimulant.
No. It's something. It doesn't work like, you know, there's this big thing about being an aphrodisiac, and it's not like you take it one time and it would work for you. I mean, psychologically, it might make all the difference if the worm you were taking was big enough, but it's more about you got to eat it over a certain period of time.
You got to spend a lot of money.
A lot of money, right, right. The old prescription was 10 grams a day. So, you know, that's about $150, $250 a day. And then you do that over 5 weeks and then, you know, you slowly see. But nobody takes these doses anymore unless they have to impress somebody.
Like a crack addict. at those prices.
Well, if you have the choice, go for the caterpillar fungus. Much better for you.
Well, it's an interesting story that this new cash crop for this miracle cure, the miracle drug, one drug meets all needs. The caterpillar fungus. Thanks for giving us a little bit of the story, Daniel.
Oh, well, welcome. It was a pleasure.
Most fish stories seem to come back to a common theme of the one that got away. Well, we've got a fish story for you that's about all the ones that don't get away and why that's a problem for the oceans. That story when we return here on National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Matson.